Fashion.
I'm Abby.
I'm Evan.
And I'm Katie.
And you're listening to The Fashion Hags.
We love to love
and love to hate
all things fashion.
Oh, hi, everyone. We are back in the basement. This is Fashion Hags.
That's
we
us.
Are episode 41.
Mm-hmm. Yeah? I think we're getting this right.
I
there was
think
a bunch
there's...
in the middle that we fucked up, but
who
I think
knows?
This one is
we are close, anyways.
We're always within one or two.
We are. It's good. It's fine.
Some people tell us if we're
wrong, I'm sure.
And if you don't, that's fine.
I don't care. We are joined today. I'm really excited. My friend, who I've been trying to get on this podcast for a year, probably.
A good long while.
Finally, we have today. We lined our schedules up and we just made it happen. My friend from stylecalling.com, Lindy Barrett, is
Hi,
here.
Hi, I
us.
Made it.
Yay! Yay!
Very exciting.
Thanks for having me, guys.
This is awesome.
Yeah, yeah. So it's literally been probably a year since.
Probably since you guys started.
Yeah. I was going to say, your name has been batting around since we started.
Yeah,
that's for sure.
And we've had many conversations about the podcast and we made it happen.
They are
excited to be here.
All of our conversations happen. Well, at least every time we get together for when I invite myself over to your house for award season, every Emmys and Oscars mm-hmm. and any of those kinds of red carpet things.
Yeah, we have a long-standing joke that if we need to hang out, Katie will arrange it for everybody. So if there's an award party that's happening
convenient.
At my house, then Katie rallies the troops. So it kind of works out perfectly.
Yeah, it's not at my house. It's always someone else's place, but I don't mind making the phone calls.
Happy to host.
It's a team effort.
Yeah, it's been good. It
awesome.
Works out well for us. Well, works out well for me anyway. I don't have to clean up or anything. I just have to bring a bottle of wine and we can talk about
whatever.
Fashion and shit and whatever. And it's
I do love a good award show.
Yeah.
Oh, it's great.
Yeah. And it's good we've been able to convince the men in our lives to come and enjoy it as well. It usually works
it's
out pretty
fun.
Well.
We usually bribe them with food and beer.
Yes.
Food and beer. It works, man.
Yeah.
It usually works.
And they can talk amongst themselves. That's fine.
Yeah. As long as it's loud enough that we can hear
exactly.
it. Exactly.
Yeah.
We'll stand in front of the TV and we'll be fine.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Or stand in the kitchen and we'll stand in front of the TV. That's fine. Anyway, what's new before we get too far into things? Evan, what have you been up to? I feel like it's been 1,000 years. Since
literally, I was just before we started, I was like, I feel like it's been a month since we seen each other.
Feels like it has.
Yeah. The other day I was just going through like my production document that I make every season for a new collection. And I was like updating
like a
everything.
Or
yeah, it's like
shit.
It's like definitely like a spreadsheet, and I was just like reorganizing and like marking things off that have been done, and I was just like, oh my god, like there's still so much to do, but I felt very good because there's a lot of things that are done.
Oh, that's
and that's
good.
A really good feeling.
It's a great
that
feeling.
Almost never happens.
Yep. Never have. Yeah, exactly.
Savor it.
Yeah,
that's so awesome.
Yeah, so things are trucking along. Yeah, and like just recent, like I've just been kind of battling like this like wisdom tooth deal.
Oh,
so
fun.
Like, my voice is kind of weird today. I'm like one of my teeth is like hella swollen. So I'm kind of just like taking it easy because it even hurts to talk sometimes.
Mm, I've been there.
But,
that sucks.
Yeah. But
that's no fun.
Yeah. Just working away, trying to have a summer. It's like impossible when I have a show coming up.
You got shit to do
in 2 months.
No. Yep.
But I definitely need to be getting to the beach. I need to do a rec day. It's like rec beach is like the nude beach in Vancouver, and it's like a necessity if you want to have an even tan.
I like tan lines. I don't need to. Like, there are certain areas that don't need to be exposed. I'm fine. I'm fine with that.
It's
fine.
I don't know.
Well, it's lovely that rec beach exists. So you have the opportunity
there's
to
like
go.
There's like rec beach proper,
yes.
Which I would not go to alone in a million years. It's definitely like a 5-person or more experience.
Gotcha.
And that I do not get naked at rec beach proper.
Gotcha.
Really intensely populated, and there's just like bongos and like
weirdos,
like EDM and all this stuff going on, like a million different kinds of music, and it's like crazy.
And also vendors and people
vendors,
selling stuff,
yeah.
Walking around with their dicks hanging around and
trying to sell you a
weird,
hamburger.
It's yeah,
weird.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Greasies and like, blankets and stuff.
Yeah, trying to be,
dick away.
It's like, you're trying to be neighborly, but you're also trying to sell me something. And you're
But you're standing and I'm lying down.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
Eye to dick level is real intense.
It's
right
optimum.
Now.
Yeah. So, that's a bit much. I like to go to like the other side of Rec Beach where it's more like old hippie couples.
A little bit more chill.
And like, yeah. And like, moms with their children,
sure.
And like I can like hide and like be alone and not have people bothering me, and I can just like
enjoy the beach,
enjoy the beach, and like read a book and not have to listen to a million different kinds of music and sounds and
That's
screaming
intense.
And screeching. Yeah, yeah, and ooglers and oglers.
Mm. Is it oogle or ogle?
Both.
Are
I've
they
always
both
heard ogle? To ogle.
I think it depends where you're from.
Maybe.
Yeah.
Oogle.
I don't know. I think I'd say ogle.
Oggle, oggle, boggle.
Ogle.
It's is it? It's O O G L E, right?
It's two O's, isn't it?
If you're not learning,
that's my question.
This has been grammar cast.
We really get down to the basics.
I think it's like it's three O's that make an oo sound.
Oh, there's three.
Perhaps.
Yes. Okay.
Yeah.
How we're doing. Ooh,
in modern vernacular.
In text vernacular. In,
yes.
KnowYourMeme.com says.
UrbanDictionary.com says.
Well, that's good. Well, you're still early on in this season. Hopefully,
very early.
There's still some time.
I desperately need a tan this year.
Yes.
It's literally been a decade since I've had a good tan. Like I've been shut up in some form of sewing studio since I was like 13 years old.
Yeah,
so that's over a decade.
I think I've had three good tans in my life.
And how, and
I'm
how
a
many
very pale person?
And how many of those went from a burn to a good tan? Probably
none of them. None of them.
My best tans have always come from like a really
intense
sunburn.
Because I burn and then it just like literally like washes like loofah in the shower and I'm back to just being super pasty. Like it doesn't stick.
I guess it
it's
like your skin regenerates to its like,
yes.
It's like its base form.
Yes, which is pure white.
It's optimum white.
Yeah.
Optical white. Is that what they call it? Optical
yeah.
white. That super bright white that they put in museums.
Yes.
I don't know what it is, but like both of my siblings can tan super fast and really easily and beautifully. From the listeners who don't know, I have native ancestry.
Yes.
So
you
usually
got that in, yeah.
That melanin should probably be kicking in.
Yeah.
In theory, but out of all my siblings, I just don't tan as much as they do, and I've always been paler than them. And all of
you
that.
You got the like Frenchy DNA for that.
I got
stuff,
way
maybe.
More French genes. Yeah, that's for sure.
I think we need to get you some tan in a bottle.
Yeah, maybe.
Yeah.
I'm gonna be doing like a tanning oil. I know it's horrible, but maybe for just one day.
I was gonna say, as long as you don't do it all the time.
Yeah.
As long as you're not sitting out there looking like a leather mitt.
Yeah, looking like Valentino.
Not a good look.
Not a good look.
Well, I'm testing out some self tanners for the blog.
Really?
So.
Oh, there you go.
A little summer story. So I'll let you know.
You have to keep your peel.
Let me know what is the brand of choice.
Yeah, looking at some different ones, I'll let you know.
I think it's come a long way in the past, the years of the orange streaks.
It really has, and the technology and the things that are on the market right now, it's
beautiful.
Pretty incredible. So,
we'll keep our eyes peeled.
Yeah.
Be like, you look so well rested.
Thank you. You have a beautiful glow.
Thank you, I'll take it. Oh, man.
Abby, what's happening with you?
Heads up, that fucking dresser still sucks. Just had to deal with it a couple
nice.
Of times. I tried to build this stupid IKEA dresser. And it was the bane of my
existence. What was it called?
The Tarva.
Svarm.
The Svarm, yeah.
Close enough.
Close enough. Suck a bag of dicks is what it is.
Does Tarva mean anything
sucks,
in
probably.
Swedish?
Probably. Sheila, what does it mean?
It means suck a bag of dicks.
Yeah.
It means I fucking blow drunks. That's what it means. Just an update on that. And I, this weekend, got to go and meet a really cool photographer. His name is Pete Thorne. He is a Canadian guy. He works out of Toronto. And he takes pictures of old dogs. And he has this whole photo series called Old Faithful. And he took a whole, like, it's a gray background with like a headshot, just a little bit of a shoulder and head of all these old dogs. And he made a book called Old Faithful. It's a gorgeous, like, big coffee table book. You can get it on Amazon and Chapters and wherever you buy fine books. And he was doing a round of studio session here in Vancouver. So I emailed him right away as soon as I follow him on Facebook. And I emailed him right away and got a spot. And my dog is 13 years old and he just lost an eye. So he is old as fuck. And I got his picture taken and it was so
sweet.
That's awesome. So in a couple weeks, we're going to get the like gallery of images. We'll check it. I get some digital copies and then a printed copy. And it's very exciting. The guy was super nice.
That's
I got to see
awesome.
Some of the other dogs he got to photograph. And
fun.
It was great, and Grandpa was a superstar. We were done in like 20 minutes.
Well, he knows how to have his picture taken.
Well, so, he did get taught by someone who graduated magna cum laude from the Tyra Banks School of Modeling.
Yeah, I
did say
that. You can smize with one eye still, I think.
Yes, exactly.
I did, of course, throw Tyra's name around, and I'm like, come on, Grandpa. How many cycles of Top Model have we watched here?
I know,
here?
Do Tyra proud.
Come on.
We have done the time.
He was just giving this, Grandpa was just giving the same face again and again and again. I'm like, you got to mix it up, bro. You got to give photography options. You got photographer options. If Tyra has taught us nothing, you got to give good neck. And you got to give the photographer options. So it was fun.
Sure
it was great.
It.
Grandpa did a great job. He had a lot of treats and his favorite toy. He did great. I will update you all. The photos
come through. That's awesome. I'm totally going to look up that photographer. That
it was awesome.
Fantastic.
And he also does another series, which I didn't even know, called Fat Cats. And it's such a fat cat. They're so great. And of course, the pictures are beautiful, too. So, great. Pete.thorn.photo on Instagram, I think. And then Old Faithful Dogs on Facebook. We'll post links on the blog.
Love it. I like that a lot.
I was very excited.
Old dogs. Ugh. I love when you see an old dog and you're like, you can't tell if it's really old or if it's just like a big puppy. You know how like sometimes
they go
their faces
so far,
are like soft and like kind of dopey again. Oh, puppies.
Good times.
So cute.
Yeah. What have you guys been up to? I think you have something in common that you guys did together.
Well,
Katie and Lindy, unless you have something you want to start off with something different.
Nah. Whatever.
you lead a very exciting life. It's hard to choose.
I do. So many things that I should be doing.
Events, openings,
events,
bagel making.
My baking.
Oh, have you guys tried the bagels yet?
No, cookings. She made last time. She made them the next fucking day.
Okay.
Well, who really?
Okay. Lindy's
I was going to say. She called Katie. You have to talk to her about that. you got to get
very aggressive when it comes to treats.
Yes.
Well, these ones I made all on my own, and they were pretty good, but I put too much salt. I didn't rosemary rock salt, and I put too much salt on them. Well, they were okay, but now I know.
There you go. You know your limit.
These ones aren't for...
Stay within it.
Yeah, they're...
Practice makes perfect. You'll get around.
Yeah, these ones aren't for sharing. They're not good enough to share, so I'll get them better, but...
Yeah, but Katie took me to the Eastside Flea Market on Friday night, and I'd never been before, and it was fantastic.
Yeah,
I was super impressed. Such a fun way to spend an evening.
It was I don't know how often, but they do it's called an Icons Market, and it's a little bit different than their usual one.
They have what, once or twice a month, maybe?
I think they do it every 2 weeks.
Okay.
Every two weekends, I guess. And usually this market is at a different place. It's at the Biltmore, which is like another sort of bigger venue. But since Eastside Flea sort of has this permanent space now. And Eastside Flea is just like a network of local...
makers, collectors.
Yeah,
it's a strange
sellers.
And wonderful collection of people who make things or resell things or...
And there's always a bar. There's always...
A food truck.
Yeah. There's on Friday nights for the shop and bop night. They have like a DJ and they'll have, you know, cocktails and drinks and whatever.
Excellent.
But it's like $3 to get in. And then it's... all kinds of local artisans and jewelers and vintage sellers and
artists,
ceramics. I mean, all kinds of stuff. And this one they had Dan's Vintage Finds, which is
a guy
who has this awesome collection
of furniture.
There's not usually furniture there. So it's a little bit more open.
I follow him on Facebook. I'm like, do I need a $750 table that I have no room for? Well, yes, I do.
Yeah.
That I cannot really afford or have room for.
Yeah.
Well, everything was really well curated. That was the great. Oftentimes you go to this flea market and it's so overwhelming.
Yeah. Like you go to the regular flea market and it's, you know, 99% garbage. But this is very different.
Fantastic. And the prices were amazing. I found a Cowichan sweater. Was a bonus that it fit Jonathan, my boyfriend, perfectly. Either way, I was going to get it because it was $25.
Beautiful.
It's perfect. Well, the zipper might need some love on the bottom.
It just needs a little TLC.
That's fine. That's a small price to pay.
And I found this really weird.
This is the same place where you fought Parker Posey for a snowsuit.
It is exactly.
Yeah. Yes.
Yes.
And Katie told me that story.
The scene
I was
of the
like,
crime.
Are you joking?
You're like, wait, what?
Why are you pulling my leg?
No, that's where it happened. Anyway, there was this weird, like, blanket poncho kind of vest thing.
Okay.
A Ruana. We talked about this.
Sorry, say it again. I've forgotten. Ruana, yeah?
It's called a Ruana.
Ruana, okay.
Which is basically a big blanket wrap. It comes over your shoulders. I'm sure I've seen them in every single store at the moment. It's like a big blanket wrap.
Yeah.
Beautiful.
Could not remember that, Ruana.
Thank goodness Lindy's here. Excellent.
And it is like navy blue with like a mustardy yellow.
So, does it have red or yellow on it?
Yeah.
Yeah. get this. It has red birds on it.
Oh, for fuck's sake.
It was like $20. And we're like, well,
yeah.
Obviously, even if it just lives in the van and it's like my camp.
A blanket? Sure. Yeah. You wear it around the campfire?
That's, or like, you know, go to the beach.
Traipsing through the bog?
Or something. Exactly. It's my bog sweater.
For the terrace
shit yourself.
Terrace mom?
At least it'll be chic.
Yeah, exactly.
When always. They find your body,
yes.
You will have shit your pants, but you're going to look great.
I'm going to look fucking chic as fuck. For those of you who don't know what we're talking about, go back to maybe episode
two or three, maybe.
It's like in the first 10 episodes somewhere.
Just search Terror Swamp in the blog and I'm sure it'll come
up. The story will come up.
Anyway, so obviously we bought it and then had a couple of drinks. And
so you both went away with something.
Yes.
And you had a good time.
And we had a good time.
This is lovely.
And it was done at like, I think on the Fridays, it's like 6 till 10. So it's not even super late.
Well, that's great.
It'd be a great place to go. If you're looking for a present for someone, you're like, I don't know what to get them. Because there's just so much random stuff you didn't know you needed.
You're bound to find something.
There was an old school brass bell, like beautiful brass bell. And it had a unicorn on the top.
Oh, wow.
And it was $15.
Nice.
Yeah, that was cool.
That was a nice gift.
Random, fun little things, but really well curated. This was a good one.
Yeah.
Awesome.
They also have a little like solarium room where there's always succulents and cacti and
little plants
and stuff, which is always kind of a neat gift.
And great people watching.
And great people watching.
Absolutely. Yeah.
And I got to meet Bronco, which is
yes, our friend's dog.
She does
beautiful collage work.
I saw her puppy and
super fun time.
I took everything, had to wrap him in my Rowana and steal him away with me. Throw him in my bag basket.
Quick, look over there.
Yeah, so that was good. And so that was the night that we solidified for sure that we are having
Lindy
on the podcast. It is happening Monday night. We're doing it.
We have things to talk about.
Yeah.
Excellent.
So
segueing from that.
Yeah, so here's the segue. Here's how I'm going to do this.
Okay, let's do this.
Ruana.
R-U-A-N-A.
Ruana.
Okay.
Ruana. The reason that Lindy knows that is because for two things. One, she has this awesome blog that she's had for, 6 years? 5 years?
5 or 6 years now, yeah.
Called Style Calling, which you should definitely check out. But also, she is a teacher, and one of the courses she teaches is fashion history.
It is, yes.
So Lindy knows the shit.
When
I think I know what I'm talking about, actually, Lindy knows what I'm talking about.
You quickly shoot her a text and then go, uh-huh, yep, it's a Ruana.
What was the thing called again? And then she'll set me straight. So,
yeah.
If you want to chat about that, I would love to hear
absolutely.
More about that.
Absolutely. So, I have been teaching in fashion marketing for about 6 or 7 years now. My background's in public relations. That's where I started out my career. But I started teaching at the college I went to. It was Blanche McDonald. And I started teaching the PR course right when it was first created and loved it. And so, while I was doing my PR stuff and fashion show production, I always taught. And as time went on, I just kept picking up more and more classes. And I love teaching so much. My mom's a teacher, and I'm really passionate about the industry and really enjoy imparting my knowledge. And so it's been a great fit. And as time has gone on, I've kind of become a full-time instructor, which
nice.
I really, really enjoy.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah, and it's a nice balance to the blog because the blog can be very all-assuming. But at the same time, it's a perfect balance because a lot of what I talk about on Style Calling goes back to what my lessons are in class. So if it's fashion trends or fashion elements or the collections or, you know, what is it like to be backstage at a fashion show? I think there's not a lot of information out there when you want to break into the industry and how you get there and what you need to do and what you don't need to do. And so I try and impart my knowledge as best I can.
That's great.
Yeah.
And that's so nice. It's like an organic.
Yeah. It's pretty easy to talk about things that you love. I mean, we're not teachers, but we
do
the podcast.
Yep.
Pretty much.
But we will definitely impart our opinion.
Our moderate knowledge.
It'll be resembling knowledge, but it might not be exactly right. That's why we have people like Lindy to come on and set the record straight.
Professionals coming in and talking to us. Oh, that's super exciting.
Yeah. So I teach about 4 or 5 different classes at the moment, and it ranges everything from fashion styling to runway show production. So it really runs a gamut of different things, but everything's so different. And there's so many things that you need to learn. And because I've been in the industry for so long and I've done so many things, there's a lot of the knowledge is, you know, not available.
Yeah.
On set styling and what's it really like work as a dresser backstage. And,
yeah.
You know, those are things you only really find out until you've actually stepped onto set or onto a runway show.
Yeah, so. and had a naked person stand in front of you and you're standing with clothes in your
hands.
And you got 30 seconds.
All sorts of weird and wonderful stories. I've actually started to write things down because there's so many little things that you're like, even with photo shoots, every time I do a shoot, I'm like, oh, I did not know that. Right? Every
or
single
this
time.
Unique situation popped up and this was what we did or what
funny
happened.
This was the solution.
Yeah.
We never had like runway show production. We never learned any of that stuff in our program because we didn't have a runway show. We had a portfolio show instead. So the quote unquote runway show experience that we got was volunteering as an intern basically and being sort of thrown to the wolves and
having
someone with a clipboard and maybe a headset yell at you to go and do
something.
Point
you over there.
And if you don't know what you're doing, you can really fuck some stuff up and piss some people off.
There are a lot of
having
moving
that knowledge is huge.
Parts in a runway show. So we talk about all the different aspects of it. And then I really get into, you know, being on set and what is acquired of you and like, what do you wear? You're going to go
as what are you expected
of? What do you wear? You know, those things that...
When in doubt, wear black.
Yeah. Wear black. And
Fletches.
When in doubt, fake it till you make it. Look like when you know what you're doing.
There you go.
There are a lot of people doing that.
Everybody's doing it to some extent.
There are, there's things about being on set that you don't know are concerns or are things until you are on set. And it's the kind of thing that you don't necessarily want to, you don't want to look like an idiot, but you also need to know how to do the thing.
Yes.
So
it's a fine
just
line.
Say, you know, buy time if you can.
There you go.
But you got to kind of figure it out. It's a weird, like being on like a fashion show set or a photography shoot or a film set, there's like you say, there's lots of moving parts and you kind of can't get in the way.
That's very true.
There's a
weird
hierarchy,
right?
Yeah. Oh yeah. Yep. Don't fuck with it. Fuck with it. You will not get hired again. People will remember you.
No, because if you're trying to be a keener and like putting yourself in situations where you don't need to be in, then you'll be the
person. Or you have no clue what you're doing.
Yeah, exactly. Then
there's faking it till you make it, and then there's like
just straight up faking it.
Yeah, straight up faking it and just being like, being a dillweed.
Like, they'll be like no. That person, don't hire them again because they're in the way and they think they know what they're talking about and they don't.
Don't so be that person.
Like, yeah, don't be that person.
And it doesn't matter if you're working for Dior or if you're working for a local local designer. Like the runway still has the same requirements. It still is the same function. It still has the same pieces.
And it's such a small industry. Like the fashion industry is minute. I mean, I run into people that were interns at a PR agency and now they're producers at big TV shows.
Yeah.
You know, it's such a small industry and you see the same people over and over again.
And the thing is too, like if you're just starting and you don't know, one of the things you probably also don't know is who everybody else is.
That's true. Yeah.
So you don't want to say the wrong thing to the wrong person and put your foot in your mouth because that might come back real fast to bite you.
Yeah.
So
anyway, nice to everybody.
It's hard.
Smile.
It's smile.
Nice to everybody. You know, one of my favorite sayings. How does it go? What do you mean? See, now I blanked. You're gonna have to put it out. Those ciders are really good.
There you go. Doing its job.
Okay, I got it. Okay. One of my favorite sayings, be careful of the toes you step on today because they're probably attached to the ass you have to kiss tomorrow.
Oh, that's good.
I love that.
That's good. Good one, right?
Yeah.
That is good.
That's good advice.
Yeah. I just think be kind to everybody, even your classmates when you're starting out. Those are the people that are going to be your allies in the industry.
Yeah, they'll be your peers, right?
Absolutely. Your instructors, right? I have students that are amazing, huge YouTubers and are huge bloggers and, you know, it's so cool to see students, you know, blossom and grow and become have these great careers. And it's cool to still have those relationships. And they'll often still like send me messages and be like, hey, how's it going? Like,
well,
it's so
awesome.
It's great. And it's nice to, you know, because you're building your community and the community really starts from day one when you're like, I want to be in the fashion industry.
Yeah.
It's everybody.
Yeah, well, even look amongst our friends here, how often we called each other, or I emailed Claire last week about a job that I couldn't do, and I'm like, hey, I'm thinking of Claire.
Yeah.
You thought of me, and I thought of you, and you worked with me at the costume shop, and
well, even
still, you know, with class, like instructors
totally.
And stuff, we're
and
still
y'all have
in contact
saved
with
me.
Them.
You've saved my ass a time or two. Let that be known.
Yeah.
But even like Lindy and I, when we met, we ironically didn't even meet through fashion.
No.
I met through pals. Yeah. And then I was like, oh, you know that person? I know this person. You did this? I know that thing.
There.
I was at that show. You were here. You were like, so.
It's kind of funny. When we started to talk, we were like, oh, we know so many of the same people.
Yeah. And a lot of overlap.
Yeah. And we met through our boys. They were really good buds.
Are you a fashion girl too?
Yeah.
Oh my God.
Yeah, I knew you were special.
We're from the same planet.
Yeah.
Do you speak Prada? Very weird
fashion. Yeah, it was pretty fun. So I wanted to ask you as well. So now you sort of split your time between the blog and teaching. Mm. Is there anything that you like more out of each one? Since you're splitting your time a little bit more, like you're not doing PR anymore.
No, I worked in PR for many, many years. That was my background. And, you know, the Vancouver fashion industry, it is small, it is here. But how I really got my start is I worked for a lot of companies based out of Toronto and Montreal as a West Coast rep. So a lot of brands like H&M and BCBG Max Azria and Le Chateau. So when there was a stylist coming in to pull clothing or there was an event, I would work with the teams to create the events out here, which was fantastic. I loved it.
That's great.
Some really great experience. I got to go to New York a bunch of times for Fashion Week, which was super exciting.
Ooh.
Yeah, I've been going to Fashion Week since 2007. So it's been 10 years now.
Great.
So amazing experience. But there's definitely pros and cons to both. I mean, I love the teaching side of things because I get to interact with a bunch of 20-year-olds all day, which is really fun.
Who are enthusiastic and, you know,
super enthusiastic for the most part.
Some days.
Yeah.
More than others.
But I have a lot of creative freedom to teach what I think is important. Of course, there are, everything's overseen. But I really do have the opportunity to impart a lot of the knowledge that I've gained over the last, 10, 15 years working in the industry. And that I find really satisfying by sharing my knowledge. And when students come back to me and they say, oh, I got to do this photo shoot with so-and-so and, we taped shoes. And I was like, awesome. We did that in fashion show production. That makes me really excited. So that part I really enjoy. But, it's a 9-to-5. So it's definitely, can be a bit of a grind.
Yeah.
And, sometimes it's a bit of a, it's a bit of a song and dance. You got to get up there and perform. If you're having a bad day, they don't care. You got to get up there and be passionate about what you're doing and make sure that you're on. So that definitely, I did a lot of singing and dancing performances when I was young. And I think that definitely helped. I have no fear of public speaking now, which is great.
Awesome.
And so that's been really good to just kind of, really grow that side of who I am and be able to impart my knowledge, which is great. And then on the blog side, the blog is amazing, but blogging can be a very lonely profession if it's just you.
Sure, you and your computer.
You and your computer trying to take those flat lays. And emails, so many emails.
So many.
Yeah, and I think, when I started blogging, it was because I was a publicist and I worked with all these amazing bloggers, and I was like, oh, I can do that. And so that's
the classic, I can do that.
And, I just had, I think, such a different perspective because I was in the industry, and that's how the blog started. It was from an industry insider's perspective.
So not a lot some, of the,
Yahoo.
Enthusiastic fashion school student who doesn't,
Not
that there's anything wrong with
no,
starting
we just haven't
it that
done
way,
anything
but,
yet.
Yeah, yeah. There's a lot of that.
When I started to Google information, they just at the time when I started, there wasn't a lot of information about how do you get into the industry and how do you get an internship and what internships are worth doing and what aren't and where should you volunteer and how do you network, just little things like that. And so the blogging part has been amazing. I've met so many incredible people. Through that and even through Instagram, which is just so funny. Actually, I met a girl today from Toronto who is an Instagram friend of mine, and she was in town, and it was so cool when we met. I was like, I feel like we know each other.
Yeah.
And we've never met.
So strange how that works out.
It's funny. So they definitely have pros and cons. I mean, the one part about going to the school is that I get to be around people that are very like-minded, and I teach with the most amazing people. Our program director, Peggy, anybody's been to Blanche, Miss Peggy. She's been there forever, and she is just a wealth of knowledge.
Oh,
and so
awesome.
To be able to interact with someone like that, and just it's a really great energy and a nice balance to the blog, because blog is amazing. It's a lot of fun, but it's a lot of work. So it's nice to have to be able to go between the two.
And I think it's nice too. I would imagine that it's nice to be able to have a thing that you can set your own schedule to when the other side of it is
so static.
Yeah, it's quite structured.
Yeah.
Like you have to show up and you have to.
You're there Monday, Wednesday, Thursday or whatever between 10 and 12:30, like it or not.
You know, marks or projects need to be marked and graded and they need to be back.
The term ends on blank day. Yeah.
So having the blog would be a nice way to sort of balance out the other side of, you know, exercising that creativity a little bit.
Absolutely,
more.
Because the blog happens on evenings and on the weekends.
Yeah.
You know, that's when your photos are being taken. And, you know, when I have little chunks of time, I'll do things. But, you know, blogging has become a business and my blog is a business now. And it's wonderful. It's incredible to see this community grow as well and see more people become full-time bloggers and be able to work with brands in a really meaningful way. You know, when I say my blog's a business, I'm not just like doing random collaborations. It's all very thought out of. I don't promote anything that I don't actually love and want to share with my readers because authenticity is really, really important.
People can see right through
these really
days.
They really can.
Yeah.
It's hard to come by, I think, sometimes too.
Yeah.
And you're...
It's so easy just to pay lip service to it and go, hey, don't check out this whatever new lipstick. And you're like,
Yeah. No. I don't think so. Okay. So on that note now, I'm curious, what is the most like outrageous or frustrating or just weird requests that you've had someone approach you about for your blog? Has there been anything that's like pretty weird about
or off
a promotion or?
Oh, all the time. One of the things that I teach in my PR class is that when you are connecting with a media person, remember you're connecting to a person and not just a random email address. And the very first thing you should do is go onto Instagram, go onto Twitter and figure out who you're writing to. It takes 2 minutes to pop online and see, is this something that they'd be interested in? That rarely happens. Yeah. I mean, it does for a lot. I mean, a lot of publicists that I've worked with for years and years from my PR days that I still have relationships with, and people jump from brand to brand. And so that's been really great because I've, you know, they'll pitch me things and I'm like, yeah, that's totally on topic. So most of the PR people that I work with on a regular basis, we've got a good relationship.
They know
what to pitch. But, you know, often you get these blanketed random for things like, well, I get every now and then kid stuff. I'm like, well, I don't have kids.
I don't cover kids.
I'm like, have you looked at my blog?
Yeah.
Or like things for like, just funny, like I have like lots of like saving your hair as men. I'm like, I don't.
Maybe not for me. Really.
No, I'm like, have you looked at my, no, you haven't. But that's okay. But it's always really amusing. And some of them are so amusing that I save them just for a good laugh.
Yeah. Because on a sad day, you bring them up and you get a chuckle.
Well, you can also, I'm sure, use it as a teaching tool.
Sure.
Absolutely.
Don't do, blank out some names and say, don't do this.
Yeah, no, I do that.
No.
I used to get emails all the time at my previous job. I would get emails from, you know, suppliers or like, you know, we'll make this, cheap prices, blah, blah, blah. But it would always be, dear sirs. Mm-hmm. And the company that I work for was all ladies. I've only ever worked for ladies, and it was always dear sirs.
That
which was
is
like,
misogynist.
It was like an instant.
Go and fuck yourself.
Yeah, fuck yourself. Yeah. There was
and delete.
Spam report, delete, block. Yeah. Dear sirs.
Do you know what's really funny? Is now and then I'll get those emails, and it'll be like, hey, lovely. And immediately I'm like, And then at the end it's like, XO Sarah. I'm like, I do not know you.
No. We technically haven't even met at all.
No.
That is the
There's personable
height of
and then there's too personable.
Yeah. You're having a this is a business transaction.
Yeah.
This isn't a text happen. to your crush.
In the past, like in other jobs, people have I've been reprimanded for being too cold over email.
I think email
I do get reprimanded for being too cold in real life as well.
Well then.
But it's just like
weird, though.
I mean
because it's
can't
changed
read
so
tone,
much.
But I've,
it's always a fine line on to like, especially when you're working with friends and you're like, or if that happens too, just like, well, how can I swear on this?
Oh no, if I send you guys email? An email, I'm like, hey,
but
bitch, like here
but it's
we go.
At my like company account, can I still say fuck? Because it's to you.
Like if I was,
you know, or like a friend or something, or you know, I'm.
You always have to err on the side of caution.
Exactly.
A lot can
so
get
it's trying.
Lost in translation.
And the thing is, too, I've also worked in places where I've had to go through, after people have left, I've had to go through their emails. And like, there was, long story short, I worked at a place.
Were there nudes?
People left. There was legal action taken against these people. So I had to go through their emails to see what the timeline was for things. When were they talking about planning things, yada, yada, yada. Because if they were planning things too early, we could pursue legal action against them for like stealing clients and stuff before they actually like hardcore made cut the cords and left. So I had to go through all their old emails and found some weird shit. So now it always reminds me, like, don't email your boyfriend from your work address and talk about sex you had in a stairwell.
Oh,
don't do it. No.
Because 5 years later,
is a text.
Some dummy, a.k.a. me, is going to have to read this and have that image in their head. That is a lot. Well,
that's a lot.
People will forget what you said, but they will always remember how you made them feel.
Yeah.
You know, so always err on the side of caution. Yes. It's a good one, right?
That is.
Because the industry is so tiny and you meet the same people. And if you were a jerk to the intern, now they're a big deal at X, Y, and Z, or even like your classmates or the people you're hanging out with. It's like, don't.
I see somebody be a jerk to somebody else. I'm not involved. I'm going to remember that guy was an asshole.
Yep.
I wasn't even involved. I wasn't insulted.
But it's such a small industry. And when there are 15 other people standing behind to get the job and you're. Whatever your references are, you know, that's how most of this industry works, right? It's like, I see you interned with so-and-so, or I see you volunteered here. I'm just going to give Lindy a call and see what she thinks about this person. And very quickly, it's either a yes or a no.
Yeah.
You like to work with people that you have a little bit of information on, and you think that they're a good person and they're a good fit.
And get a line on them, absolutely.
And that's how it works. People like to work with people that are positive and upbeat and nice to be around.
Yeah, people are way more inclined to want to teach you, especially if you're looking for a job or looking for experience, whatever.
Sure, if you're at the beginning,
it's going to be way more likely that you'll inspire someone to take you on to teach you if you are open to that and that you're nice. If you go in like a know-it-all and a blowhard, they're going to be like, well, fuck you. If you think you know everything, then go somewhere else and do it. Why would you come to me?
And the fashion industry is an interesting industry where you have to intern. You have to intern.
Yeah, that's just the process.
You have to volunteer.
Yeah.
And it will be like my experience interning, volunteering, I treasure because I learned so much during that time. And even if, you know, I did volunteering at like a wholesale agency, I wasn't going to go into wholesale, but I wanted to know what is that like? And yes, I steamed clothes all day. I did an internship in New York once and I cleaned the back closet for 2 days. I'm like, I'm in Manhattan in the meatpacking district and I'm cleaning a closet. Yeah.
I'm sorting a big bag of shoes.
Yeah. But, you know, a couple days later, it was the Labor Day weekend and all the American interns went off and I got to sit with the stylist and create the line sheet for a show at Bryant Park.
Beautiful.
So there, you know, it's like, don't complain. Just clean the closet. Do what they ask you to do because you always remember the people that like show up and stay late. So often I do these runway shows and at the end of the day, everyone disappears. Right? When we're sitting like,
they take their gift bag and they fuck off.
And they're gone. And you're like packing up the chairs and wiping everything down. I always remember the people that stay to help. And that's also kind of when you bond with everybody. And
you have an extra moment to be a person again, right?
And not just be a cog in a
machine, right?
Totally.
Take two gift bags.
Exactly.
I remember I got a job once. Actually, a job that I had for a number of years. I got a job once because... We were in the middle of a task and it was a cutting job. We were cutting out samples and like my time had run up. It was like 4:30 and I was scheduled to be there from like, 11 till 4, whatever it was. So it was like, well, it's 4 o'clock and so, you can go. And I was like, I don't mind just staying and finishing this. Like, I would rather just
stay
and have this and know that it's done and, see the whole process like, wrapping it up and finishing it and just completing it. And then I can leave with a clear head. And they're like, well, okay. And I'm sure that was a huge notch in my belt for getting that position. And absolutely. I was there for a long time.
Yeah. That's great.
It's like you say, like I used to work in, I had a job in like a cafeteria cooking for summer camps. And it was never our job to clean up the tables, but the tables always had to get wiped down. Mm-hmm. So we'd, leave the class in this, and there's just, it's kids. It's like summer camp for volleyball or whatever. Yeah, it is.
Insanity.
And it's crazy. And so they eat their meal in 20 minutes and then they clean their table and then they go. So you could always tell like the people at the end who were like the good kids were the kids who would stay at the end and make sure that the tables were cleaned and the chairs were stacked and made sure that our jobs were easier.
Yeah.
Like the first guys to F off and go and, put on their little tube tops to get 10 minutes of sun before they get back to the class or whatever. Like those were the people that you were like, well, they're done. Like, if I'm not giving her an extra scoop of ice cream at the end of the day, I'm going to give the kid who helped me stack the chairs at the end of the day. Like, shit, it doesn't matter what industry you're in or what position you're doing.
And remember to say thank you. I always remember also the people that will, you know, send a little thank you card in the mail and just be like, thank you so much for the opportunity. And those are the people that you remember, because it doesn't always happen.
Even nowadays, shoot an email off, text, like any sort of little gesture. Be like, thanks for seeing me today. Really fun, whatever, blank. It was awesome meeting you, whatever. Like, it can be 10 words in a text and the person will remember.
And even, like you say, like, even if it's not the field or the job or the, you know, the office or whatever that you want to be working at, or even the, you know, whoever, because the industry is so small, someone calls and is like, you know what, I don't have anyone that I can think of right now for this job, but there was this intern that I had who, you know, followed up really nice and she was a good kid and maybe try
her. Here's
her
email or
right?
whatever.
Yeah. You know, like, it's crazy how often that shit happens.
Yes.
Especially in this industry.
Absolutely.
It's so hard to find good help.
Isn't it?
It is. This is an industry of ego in a lot of ways.
Yeah. Like, And free labor.
You know, there's a lot of free labor. And you also, but as an intern and a volunteer, you also have to be selective of where you spend your time. I had a conversation with one of my students and she was very concerned because she's going to school full time and she has two jobs. She has to work. And she's like, I don't know if I'm going to have time to volunteer. And I was like, okay, hold for a second. You're working two jobs and going to school and holding an A average. Good on you, girl. Like, that's amazing.
That's great.
It's like, don't stress. I was like, but if you have a Wednesday free, make sure the career counselor knows that Wednesday nights is your free night. So if there's something coming up, you're top of mind. But, you know, you're going to school full time and having two jobs, like, that's career building just as that. Mm-hmm. To have that stickability to do that is enormous.
Yeah, and I think the commitment and the time management and the, you know, like.
That's what working in the fashion industry is all about, is juggling 5, 6, 8 things at a time. It's like, that's a skill you're honing in just at itself. And it's like, but when you do have those opportunities, you'll seize them. But it's like, don't stress about it. It's okay.
And people will see that on your resume that you held two jobs and you were in school all in this timeline. They're going to see that.
Exactly.
They're
going to
see that work ethic.
Yeah,
That's why you have a resume.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. So that you don't have to explain, like, oh, like, I've been working two jobs and, like, I really want to do this and this. It's like, no, that's why you have that. That's why you have that document.
When I very first started working in the industry, I had a really cool internship. I worked for Trendforecaster, which was an amazing job. And I was working at a modeling agency as an intern. And my day job was working at a restaurant as a hostess. And I loved it because my job was a very busy restaurant and we only took one reservation every hour. So can you imagine how many people would come in? And it was my job to convince people that they should stay and drink in our bar for an hour and a half.
Right. While they wait for a table.
While I ran the list. And I was like, oh, it's like doing PR listing at an event. Yeah. It's exactly the same.
Transferable skill.
Absolutely. It's every little bit helps. And I still think about that, my back to my hosting days. I was like, turning on that smile. Hang out for 2 hours. We'll get you a nice table.
The other thing about that is when you are kind and generous with your time and you go out of your way, if you make a mistake, it's going to be way easier for people to forgive.
Yes, absolutely.
When you fuck up, people are going to be like, ugh.
That sucks.
But you know what? That sucks. Here's how we can get through it. Instead of you being a dickhead the whole time and then making a mistake, people are going to just cut you out.
Yeah.
That's it.
Yeah.
Bye.
You are left out.
There's just way too much to do.
Yeah.
Really. The people don't want to keep you around.
Yeah. And be creative about how you get internships and volunteer opportunities. There's so much happening in Vancouver. And, you know, a lot of time we stay in our little neighborhoods and in our bubbles. And there's so many things going on. And Instagram's a great tool to meet new people. And if you see a designer or someone that's, you know, you think is awesome, send them a message and be like, hey, if you're ever doing a show or you need volunteers, I'd be happy to.
I love your stuff. Blah, 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 blah.
Yeah.
You know, simple. Keep it simple.
Exactly.
I used to
reach out.
I used to look for jobs. I actually got a few interviews by looking up local brands that I like you say, like on Instagram or on Facebook, or if a brand has like a blog or like an About Us or whatever on their website, I would always check out there if they have job postings, anything posted, because sometimes they're only posted there, or sometimes they're only posted internally, or they would only be posted, you know, they're not on Craigslist
website,
or whatever.
Yeah.
So I found that even if I didn't get the job, then you still meet those people.
In an interview,
still
or
in their inbox somewhere.
In an inbox
or whatever, and it just kind of can't hurt. That's, and it usually can find stuff if you're looking for a job in those places that you maybe wouldn't be able to find otherwise. And then you know that you're working for a company that you kind of like.
Yeah, that you're into.
Yeah. I mean, good luck. Good luck. Because it's
easier
hard.
Easier said than done.
Easier said than done, certainly. But it is a good way to, you know, to look for an alternative route, as it were.
Yeah, you don't have to just look in the paper and,
yeah,
well, the traditional methods.
It's like we're in fashion. Be creative.
Yeah. Do the math.
And especially today, now we're at all these brands. You have to have visibility online. You have to have accounts. You have to have these platforms. So interact. That's what they're there for.
Yeah, and be aware of what you're posting and what you're putting out there. That's another thing, right? Everything you're putting out there is an extension of yourself and it's an extension of your brand. People are like, I don't have a brand. I'm like, everybody has a brand.
Everybody's got one.
You've got your brand. And the first thing that people are looking now when they're looking through resumes, they're like, cool, what's the Instagram? They want to make sure that your aesthetic is in line with their values and their morals, right? So, which is becoming more of a regular thing with jobs. It's like, what's your Instagram handle?
Yeah.
It's interesting.
It's so different. I think we're in a unique position in our generation with that, and that our, I think sometimes, maybe not in fashion, but in other jobs, the people who are doing the hiring are not necessarily on the same level.
Yeah.
You know, so
most
I think
up on things.
I think some, and I think it's shifting now. Like, I think there's enough people in management that
there's
are,
a bit of a sea change happening.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah. But it can be frustrating that there are skills that are valuable to us and to our generation and to, you know,
younger,
what's happening now and in the future that are just so, you know, fucking cuckoo bananas to the people who still write the paychecks at the top still.
Yeah.
So it's a bizarre kind of shift.
Weird
right
in-between
now.
Space. Yeah.
Yeah. I hesitate to use the word millennials because it sort of seems like...
It's kind of lost its...
Well, it just feels like it's the scapegoat term now. But it's... I mean, the reason it gets talked about a lot is because it is quite a unique
it's a thing.
Scenario.
There is a big difference.
Yeah, a big time difference. So I'm going to ask you, speaking of that, what is the biggest change you have seen from when you were a student to now as a teacher at Blanche?
Well, the one nice thing is all the projects are done on the internet now. God, I remember having stacks and stacks of magazines and pouring through them trying to find a gigot sleeve or like a pair of culottes. Now they just Google it. And I always tell them, I'm like, just so you know, I've marked a lot of these projects. I know what the first Google image search is. Yeah. All of these things.
I've seen it. I know it.
But the other thing that I've really noticed is that the attention span and wanting things to happen really fast.
Mm.
You know? So
interesting.
I've left school. I want my dream career. And I always ask at the beginning of my class, I'm like, who dreams of having a career in fashion? And I put up my hand. Because I'm always working towards my fashion dream.
Yeah.
Always. It's a marathon. There are so many things that will happen in your career. And fashion is an industry where you don't have to pick one path. It's not like, this is where you're going to study. This is where you're going to go to
school. This is your job.
And that's it for the next 40 years. That's your trajectory. In fashion, you can change lanes all the time. You know, you don't
and
have
And you probably to, will have to.
And you probably will have to. And the industry is changing. So you have to be very adaptable and have multiple skill sets. And I think that's probably why I enjoy teaching so much, because that's how I always looked at my career. It was, how can I have multiple skill sets so that I can be very adaptable and be a runway show producer and be a stylist and be able to do PR. And, you know, I never was a full-time stylist, but so often when I'd be working with a fashion designer, we'd be doing editorials or we'd be doing catalog shoots and I would be in there designing. So you pick up these little pieces of experience along the way. And so... And that's what it was really about, because, you know, then you get to do really cool things. Like, I went to Fashion Week this last season, which was incredible.
In New York, right?
Within New York, yeah. And, you know, I approached it a little bit differently. New York Fashion Week has changed a lot, a lot. It's a completely different ballgame. And when I first went, we were in Bryant Park and, you know, it was much smaller.
Yeah.
Social media hadn't really taken off.
Bloggers. Yeah, there wasn't street style like there is now.
No.
900 shows. And
bloggers weren't even like a thing. They weren't even invited. And so fast forward a couple years, you know, that's been completely dispersed. Mm-hmm. The venues are all over the place. And so when I went in this season, I went in as a blogger, which is cool to be on the other side. And I really picked and chose what I wanted to go to. And I got to see some amazing things. The best show I think I've ever been to my entire life was Tommy Hilfiger.
Oh, wow.
They took over
and exciting.
It was so exciting. And I got the invitation and I was like, oh my God, I can't believe we got one. Like, it was a beautiful hard copy invitation. And so anyway, it's on this pier. And so I get down there and they've taken over an entire pier in Southport, like the entire thing. It's huge. And they've turned it into a carnival. So a Ferris wheel and a tilt-a-wheel, and I'm just like, and I'm
taking it all in.
Taking it
all in.
And I was by myself too. I couldn't get a plus one, of course. So it was like, you can come. I was like, okay, I'll be there. And so I got in there and I'm looking around. I'm like, taking this all in, and it's amazing. And I'm standing and I see that I'm standing. I'm like, well, that's fine. You know, I'll just skip it. But there's only one row of seats. So it's one row of seats and literally everybody is standing. So I'm like, it's not my first time at the rodeo. You go and get your standing spot as soon as possible. So I'm standing there and there walks by Kris Jenner and, you know, Yolanda Foster. I'm like, oh my gosh, this is amazing. So I'm like taking it all in, looking around. And the next thing, who sits down straight ahead of me but Miss Anna Wintour herself.
Wow.
Oh my God.
And
you're spitting distance from her.
Literally, I'll have to show you the photo afterwards. She is right there. And so the whole time I just watched Anna watch the show because she was there.
I bet. How did you take your eyes off her?
Which was more entertaining. I mean, it was an amazing show. And she was everything I wanted her to be and so much more. She was there 20 minutes before the show, which was unheard of. She usually like dashes in and dashes out. And people were coming up to her asking for selfies and she obliged.
Aww.
I was like, that is ballsy asking Miss Anna Wintour for a selfie.
I do feel like Vogue's PR sat down with her and was like, Anna, you need to take selfies.
It's very important for our social
very
media.
Very important for our branding, for our digital presence.
You don't have to smile, but you do have to take them.
And she was there with her venti Starbucks and her big sunglasses.
Nice.
Looking very bored on her phone the whole time. That's amazing. But, you know, those are those magical moments when you're just like, oh my gosh. Like,
you
this
saw
is
a unicorn, a fashion unicorn.
Absolutely. And, you know, I don't know about you guys, but most people I've met in the fashion industry are really lovely, friendly people, hardworking and passionate.
Well, that's the thing. It's an industry where you kind of have to give a shit.
You do, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah, you're not going to
you have to love it
get in. You're not
so much. Yeah.
Yeah.
And also real recognizes real. Like if you're doing something to be able to meet people of repute, then they realize, okay, this person is worthy, I guess, of my of being introduced
sure.
to me.
Yes.
You know what I mean? So it's like, it's not like you're just running up to somebody on the street and when they're on their way to work,
spin cycle or whatever.
Yeah, but if you're a beautiful event, then it's a whole other thing.
Yeah. So don't be shy. I mean, people come up to me all the time. They're like, hey, I know, I read your blog. And I'm like, amazing. That's so awesome. Like, and often when they're like, oh, if I've left a comment, I'm like, what's your handle? Because I, of course,
you'll old bloggers, know, sure.
We all read all our comments. We see it all, which is a really cool part about the whole social media game is that you are able to connect with people. Maybe they don't reply, but there's a good chance I actually saw what you said.
So, mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Absolutely. I always, like, it hasn't happened very often, but when people tell me that they listen to the podcast, it blows
it's
my
coolest.
Mind.
It always happens in, like, the weirdest places.
We're not already friends or relation. You're in a relation to me and you listen to my podcast?
I don't know who you are. Yeah, like, when I used to work at my last job, a girl came up to me and she's like, are you Evan Ducharme? And I was like,
yes, I am.
And she's like, and she like just pulled her phone out and showed me what she and she was listening to Fashion
Hags. That's awesome.
Oh my
and I was
God,
like,
that's
oh
my super God.
Exciting. And I was like, I need to go and call Abby and Katie right now, and text them, let them know. And then I was at a house party.
It's just as exciting for us as it is for you.
Yeah.
Yes,
definitely. It is, right?
I was at a house party with a bunch of people, all these like really cool kids. And then this one kid came up to me. He's like, I listened to your podcast and it's really cool. And I was just like,
thanks.
So it's just like all these different crowds. We're very diverse in our demographic.
It's awesome.
We are, yeah.
Yes. I love
true.
It.
That's true.
I love it. So that's great. Yeah. Take the opportunities.
So say hi to us. Don't be shy.
Yeah.
We love it.
Yes.
Yes.
Although my boyfriend always jokes that we can't go anywhere because I have students all over the place. And I love it. I'm always happy to be. Even when we were at the East Side Flea, a girl came up to me and I was, for a moment, I was like,
wait a
I was
minute.
Like, oh, wait, of course. Hey, how's it going? It's always really fun. I mean, every time we go shopping, right, at every store, there's a former student.
Oh, there's somebody.
There's somebody. And their hair is usually a different color. And
it's been a few years.
It's been a few years. But I've got a pretty good knack for names as well. So.
Oh, that's good.
That's my skill. The PR side going out.
Oh, that's good.
I do not have that.
Neither do I.
Instantly, it drives me crazy. Yeah. I'll even say it, and then it'll be
gone. Still not good enough.
Rowana.
It's a funny word. It's okay. We'll let that one slide.
I keep wanting to say cloaca, but it is not.
What is that?
Nope.
That is something else.
That's a bird sex part.
Bird genitals. Okay, for the listener. It's your mystery.
Shout out to Retail Nightmares, just, Jessica Delisle. I know
you're not there. You're not you learn something new every time you listen about to a Fashion Hacks podcast.
Exactly. Yes. You never might, know what you're
may
going.
Or may not be fashion related. Cannot guarantee.
We have very diverse interests.
Yes. Yes.
Well, if you're very interested, there is a blog post all about the Rowana and its origins on stoutcalling.com.
We will link to it.
We will link it.
You can go check it out
on our blog for show.
For show. We should wrap things up. Yeah. Do you have an obsession?
That you can join us?
You can join us?
Absolutely.
Okay.
Oh, good.
Well, then we'll think of something.
We're gonna have a quick break and then we'll come back to obsess.
Oh, yeah. And we're back. Obsessions.
We had to open the door because it's hot.
It is hot. We get all hot in here.
It's a little sweaty in here. It's a little bit warm. So where should we start, Abby?
I'll start. Okay.
We had a mini freakout.
Yes. I fucking tore through the Keepers documentary on Netflix in like a day and a half.
Chris was going out of town and I knew he would not want to watch it. I was like, that's my chance.
I started watching it and Dave's like, you're starting to watch this without me. I'm like, I didn't think you'd be interested. And he's like, it's okay. 7-part documentary on YouTube. No, Netflix about the Catholic Church and abuse and cover-ups and murder and intrigue and
it is redemption. Not an easy watch.
No, it is not fun. It is not easy. It's not a knee slapper.
It's a bit heartbreaking. Yes. But it is so well done. The story is so well told.
Important.
Very important. So that's my brief obsession. Yeah. That tore through that.
Yeah.
And totally worth your time.
Yeah.
And somebody who grew up Catholic, very strange. And very happy I got out of all of that.
Likewise.
Happy I got this. That's in my rearview mirror.
As someone who has never been religious at all, I'm like, why do people even do this? I don't get it.
Anyway,
watch it.
Recommended.
Well, then I can segue into that. Something a little bit lighter.
Go for it. Yes.
Go on. Let's
do that.
My current obsession, I think you guys can probably agree, Netflix documentaries.
In general, absolutely.
Oh my goodness. There is just so many incredible, incredible documentaries. And
series and feature length and short, like so
it's
many.
Amazing. And especially for fashion, like there are so many, like Dior and I, which if you haven't
amazing.
Seen yet,
you gotta watch
phenomenal.
That.
We've definitely mentioned that one on
the blog.
That's
a good one.
Jeremy Scott's documentary.
Fascinating. Hate his stuff. Loved that movie.
Yeah, yes. Same.
And he is such a genuine, lovely person. And he's just got such a good
soul.
He's
so into it. And yeah, he went so home passionate. To his, like, Podunk town.
How cute is his mom sitting with her
little mosquito bag.
On her lawn chair.
Yeah. Like the classic, like woven rope lawn chair.
Oh. Yeah.
It's amazing. And then Iris, of course.
Yes. Iris, of course.
Fabulous. Iris Apfel.
And then on a completely different note, there's one I watched the other day called Finding Vivian Mayer.
Fantastic.
How? That one.
It's Katie, you are going to like flip your lid.
Is it a true crime?
No.
Well.
It's interesting. Yeah. So it's this guy that found a storage locker and he goes and opens this up.
Is this the woman who's a photographer?
Yes. You see, we're very passionate about this. But he went and opened the storage locker and were these hundreds and hundreds of foam reels. And they sort of developed it. And there were these incredible street style photos.
Oh, I got goosebumps.
It was amazing. And so it's uncovering and unraveling this really intense story about this woman who had passed and all of her things. But then it turns out that she was a nanny and she was a recluse and very odd, but phenomenal.
Like this outsider art type of deal. Like she was never famous. She never let anybody see her pictures. She never did anything with her pictures. She just took like a million pictures, like literally like thousands and thousands and thousands and thousands
and
of pictures.
Interview all the kids that are now adults that she was a nanny and they were like, yeah, she was the strangest lady.
She was the weirdest lady.
And she would take us to the worst part of towns.
And she always had her camera around her neck snapping pictures. And like the kids are like, I don't know, I was six. We took the bus into town and we walked around. It was a bad neighborhood. It was great.
It's all over the world. There was a story in Vogue about her, but look it up, Finding Vivian Mayer. And it is a wonderful, fascinating tale.
Compelling. Intriguing. Like,
totally worth your time.
It's added onto my
list.
Yep. There's so many good ones. Yeah. If you want more, I've got so many. I could talk for days about that.
Yeah. Bill Cunningham, I think, is on there. Oh. Bill Cunningham, New York is on there.
Do you know that I am in Bill Cunningham, New York?
What?
There is a shot of me.
Oh, gotta watch it again.
It's so random that there's a shot of me running up the steps to Bryan Park in like 2007, 2008.
That's awesome.
Yeah, if you look, it's right after the gentleman who has all the striped suits that he makes out of like curtains
stuff.
Oh, yeah.
Right after that, there's a scene of me running up.
That's awesome.
Well, that's what I'm doing when I get home.
I used to be blonde. It's like big blonde hair. There was a hurricane. There was like, often in September, it's like super hot, but then it's also like hurricane season, like at the same time.
Yeah.
So you get this like mugginess. So my hair is like all time. But you'll
all over the place.
I'm going to totally.
It's good. That. It's blonde. It's in a big bow. It's great. Yeah.
You'll
see me.
Excellent.
It was a look.
That's awesome.
That's great.
But that is a must watch. And, you know, you'd go to all these shows in New York and Bill would always be there, very quiet. He actually, he said that he hated the documentary because it suddenly, everybody knew who he was.
Sure, it was about him. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And he didn't like that. He kind of liked being anonymous. And he'd always be very quiet outside the show, like snapping his photos. But yeah, awesome. Wonderful story. Very humble.
Yeah. Yeah, you got to watch that one.
Yeah.
Oh, I have another super dumb obsession.
Yeah, go on.
Is this new app called Patternator?
Oh, yes. I've seen that.
I've already been blowing up my Instagram. You're probably already sick of it. But also, you're welcome because I guaranteed you've fucking done it. It's an app that takes like stickers, like the Facebook stickers of whatever, like a fish saying, oh, no, or whatever. Or you can take your own pictures and you like cut out like the dog's head and then it makes like a pattern, like, and you can like fuck with the angles and the scale, like there's so, and the like it's amazing.
That sounds
Patternator,
like an awesome time waster.
It's great.
So great,
the amount of time I've spent on bit emojis to find like
seriously
the perfect
outfit or whatever. Yeah.
The perfect outfit. One of my students showed me an amazing app today that Pantone has come out with.
Oh.
And you can literally hold up your phone and it shows you the different Pantones. Like it picks up what color the Pantone
no.
is.
Awesome.
It's incredible. And then you can take it and like color match it.
What?
That is awesome and super useful.
So useful. So and useful. We were just like picking up like on clothing. Like, what
sure. What's
that?
This color called?
It's phenomenal. It's like, this is brilliant.
Good to know.
See, this is why I love
game
teaching.
Changer.
You learn things like this all the time.
It's exchange of information.
It is.
Oh, that's fantastic. Oh, who wants to go next?
I'll go. There's this weird store here in Vancouver on Granville Island, which is like sort of a touristy area.
But not really an island.
No.
Not really an island. True.
It's under a bridge and it's full of tourists.
Although there's a huge sinkhole on the road there, so it might be an island soon.
Yeah.
If pipes collapse, it'll be an island.
Anyway, it might be familiar to some of our
Maybe
listeners.
Maybe we've
because
talked about it too. I forget. They do the indigo dyeing that I love
so
much.
So anyway, they have these amazing imported garments and textiles and
it's called Maywa.
Called Maywa. Pardon me. I thought I said that, but I didn't, obviously.
M-A-I-W-A.
And there's actually two stores on Granville Island. One is like, excuse me, one is like goods and stuff you can go and buy that are like
clothing, textiles, purses, jewelry,
scarf, like that.
Books.
But then they also have the like dyeing
supply store
so that you can get natural dyes and indigo and fabrics and
block printing things.
Like tons of
yarn, books, all sorts of beautiful things.
But really cool stuff. So anyway, so they have these shoes that I follow them on Instagram, and they had these super cool pair of shoes that I was like, oh, I need those.
Must investigate.
They are called Juties, J-U-T-I-S, and I'm not sure if I'm pronouncing that correctly. Probably not. I am sorry. They're Indian, like from India. And they're all handmade. Like everything they get is handmade, and it's like a collaboration project with artisans and craftsmen,
farmers, and like
India,
they have
Pakistan and all of these places.
They have all these people who work with, and it's totally ethical. They try to make as transparent as possible and promote small business and yada, yada, yada. It's awesome.
It's awesome. So I got a pair of these little like camel brown, they're like slippers. They're like a little slip on shoe, but they're pointy. Like they're kind of like a pointy, like
little
elf
Aladdin shoe kind of.
And they have little bells on them, but I had to take off because they were annoying.
Too
annoying.
Too much.
A little bit too much. It was like, ding, 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 ding.
Not sneaking up on anybody.
No, no, no. So I had to take those off. But they're super comfortable. They're handmade leather.
Beautiful leather.
$40.
The little bit of detail on them, yeah.
Perfect for summer.
Perfect for summer. Yeah. And the ones that I got are, like, pretty simple, but they have the most
really
beautiful
ornate ones, too, hey?
Embroidered ones. And, again, they're called Judy's, and they're made in Jodhpur. And they're so fucking cool. Go check them out. I'll put some pictures up from their Instagram of them. I want to go back and get another pair. I initially bought this pair to like just have in my house as a pair of slippers, but
sure.
They're super, now you're gonna they're wear too them cute. Around. So I wear them out. So now I have awesome. To go back and get another pair for slippers for the house.
There you go. An inside pair and an outside
exactly.
pair.
Exactly. But they're gorgeous and I wear them all the time. They're super cute. I have a teeny tiny little
blister.
Not like a blister, but like a pressure point that I am just going to work through. Yeah, power's not a problem anymore.
Power through.
But they're super cute, so that's yeah. I've been wearing the shit out of those, and it's sunny now, so I don't have to worry about getting caught in the rain in them.
Good. I don't have to wear socks anymore. Fuck you, socks. I'm sick of you.
Yeah, I'm done with socks.
Suck on that.
But a $40 pair of handmade leather shoes.
Where are you gonna find that?
That's done
fucking
properly.
India.
Fucking India.
Where are you gonna find it?
So anyway, go check those out. And I got the last pair of the brown ones. So
you're out of luck.
Bye. Evan, what about you?
This past weekend, I went into Hey Jude here in Vancouver. I've talked about them before.
Oh, I was just in there the other day.
And they just, I think they've been carrying this line for a while. It's this amazing line of candles from LA called Boy Smells.
Oh,
interesting.
Yes. And they're hand poured in Los Angeles in the Pico Union Studio. They're a proprietary blend of beeswax and coconut oil. And they're developed over a personal catalog of olfactory memories evolved and expressed in a modern context. That is
ooh la la.
Straight out of their PR.
That is some spin.
That is some spin, mama. But yeah, these two dudes, David Kine and Matthew Herman, this is like their brainchild. And I just couldn't get the smell of this one candle out of my mind.
What's it called?
That's good.
Called Kush.
What does that mean?
I don't know.
It's very Vancouver.
I was going to say it's very East Van. It's very pro.
Yeah, but it obviously has cannabis. And I'm trying to find the rest. Hold the fuck up.
Boy smell?
Boy smells, they're called.
Boy,
and their branding is really
Instagram.
Cute. It's like pink, black. And then like everything's like embossed on the bottle and like it's like embossed on the label and it's just like gorgeous packaging.
It does look lovely.
It's cannabis, suede, white musk, tulip, and amber.
Oh.
Oh, it's so good. I want it so bad. I'm definitely going to be going back.
Well, then they're doing their job if they've got you thinking like that.
Yeah.
So do they have a bunch of different scents?
From the website.
A few different
they carry
on their Instagram.
Four or five at Hey Jude in Vancouver. And then I think there's like 10 on the website. Oh, there's way more than 10.
Awesome.
They're like $30.
That's pretty standard.
That's an artisanal candle.
That's pretty standard for a fancy candle.
Yeah.
Fancy candle. What's that American one that has like meatloaf and patriotism? Like they got like weird smell. Yankee Candle.
Yankee Candle.
That's what it is. Yeah. They have like the weirdest smells.
Okay, meatloaf
there's like
apple
are two
pot
separate.
Two separate.
Okay. Yes. Okay. Well, I mean, maybe now they'll hear this and they're gonna want to come at them. What's more?
You know what? We should try this together.
July 4th coming up.
What does meatloaf have to do with July 4th?
You tell me.
I don't know.
I'm not American. I don't know. Anyway, they have like crazy intense candles that have A, stupid smells, and B, stupid names. This sounds like the antithesis.
The antithesis of boy smells. but yes, if you're in the Vancouver area and at all interested in a beautiful artisanal candle, the girls at Hey Jude can
help you out.
Help you out for sure.
Made of all.
Good name too.
Love it.
Really good name.
And it really helps if you don't have a boy that has like a nice smell or no boy in general.
Well, there you go. Works out.
All the single
or just
girls.
Like a room. Just having a room.
A beautiful room.
Smell nice.
Yeah.
That you want to smell for.
That's good. I like candles, but I can never bring myself to spend $30 on a candle when I have 200 IKEA tea lights.
Taking up space
in my house. I'll get through all of those 4 hours at a time and then I'll get the nice candle.
Yeah. Sounds about right.
One day.
Now we know what to get Katie next time.
There you go.
Yeah.
You're a fancy candle. I was given a candle as a gift once as like, hey, I got this thing in a gift bag.
Do you want it?
And I was like,
here's
sure.
my garbage. You take it.
Yeah. And it was awesome.
Oh, that's
it
the
was
one
awesome.
Nice thing about blogging.
Yes.
Yeah.
He comes over. I'm like, what do you need? You need a mascara? Do you need a foundation?
A sample of this and a sample of that.
I do get to try some really nice products.
That's awesome.
Which is cool. So you get to try a little bit of everything, but then you also get to share with everybody
share
else
the
afterwards. Should have brought you guys some stuff next time, next podcast.
Good to know. You'll just have to have you back.
Well, I know I'm going to bring Evan already a 10 in the bottle.
That's right. We'll find the best ones for you.
We can give that a little whirl for you.
Yeah.
Hopefully whatever melanin my French-Canadian ancestry didn't squash out of my genes, then we'll reactivate.
There you go.
In the next couple of weeks.
Well, you got the French side of you, so you got the Parisian chic side.
Very
I think
pale.
Very dominant.
Yes. Yeah.
So, you know, you take the good
you're
with
all right.
the bad, right?
Yeah.
You take
you're
all right. sides.
I did get very high cheekbones, which is my native ancestry. Yeah. So, I mean, you get what you get.
Cuts both ways.
Yeah.
We just got pale.
Yeah, I just got straight up Casper. That's what I got.
I wouldn't say Casper. I would say Snow White.
Alabaster.
Mm, yes. Well, like literally, shopping for a foundation is the easiest. It's like, what is the lightest one you have? And even then, it's too pink or too beige or whatever.
I can't do foundation.
I just went and bought like a nice foundation. RuPaul recommended this brand called NYX because it's like,
yes,
it's
oh, a yes. cheap one. Yeah.
It's his favorite. NYX is his favorite. Like drugstore brand.
When, yeah, I've heard rave reviews.
This is what he does when he does boy drag. So like when he does like red
when he
carpets
wants to be
as
a guy.
RuPaul,
yeah.
Like not like RuPaul like drag queen, just RuPaul Charles.
Yes.
So I went and like the nice lady at London Drugs was really helpful, and she's like, you know what, like you have a weird skin tone, like you're like in between like a pink and a yellow undertone, so you pretty much need to buy both of these and mix
and
them up.
And then mix your own.
And I was just like, that's not happening. Like, what is the closest?
Like, please, just try to make me buy two.
Yeah.
See my budget? Pick one.
I think NYX is opening a store downtown. I think
yeah, they are.
Exciting. Yeah.
It's a cool brand. Really inexpensive and like great pigments.
I've heard good things. We'll have to check it out.
I do love their Pore Perfector. It's like a cream that like fills in your pores before you put on a foundation. Mm-hmm. And it's also always good to put a barrier between your own skin and the foundation.
That's true.
Yeah. This is what I'm learning from watching a multitude of Drag Race makeup tutorials.
This is great information.
The drag queens do know all the good beauty secrets.
Oh, yes.
Oh, my goodness.
When you're wearing literally like a pound of makeup. Yeah. Like
you're going to know
they know exactly
and how to put it on.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I never learned how to buy the right shade. I also have freckles, so I have to wear a lot a foundation to cover up freckles.
Sure. But also, you don't want to cover up your freckles.
No.
They're great.
I don't want to. No. So when you put foundation on, I found anyway, when you put foundation over top of freckles, you can tell
it's weird.
Instantly.
It's all powdery and weird.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And also,
you get a half freckle.
Yeah. Also, I'll just put a blush on. I don't know.
You're fine.
Until someone tells me that I'm a hideous monster. I'm not going to do it.
But you also have gorgeous skin.
Yeah, my skin's all right. Yeah.
And you have amazing hair. So you just flick the hair. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. For the listeners at home, I just...
She did a flip.
Did a little
flip on the bird and flip in your hair.
Yeah. What was that advice that I forgot I said, but you use all the time about if you don't like how things are sort of looking, you just walk away from the mirror.
Just don't look in the mirror. Don't look the way it looks. Walk away. We're talking about red lipstick, maybe, and I can never like how it looks.
Yeah.
You're just like, I have a very easy solution. Stop looking in the mirror.
Yeah.
I guess it works.
Instead of just sitting there and fighting to get it perfect, just give up and walk away.
Proof.
Have a glass of wine.
100%
in
like
half an hour, it won't matter.
Rate. 100% success rate.
Yeah.
Or just don't go out. Just don't leave the house.
Also works.
And just cancel.
Stay home
your
and
plans.
Watch Netflix.
Get rid of all the mirrors.
Yeah, exactly. Smash them all. Get them out of here. No. Don't do that. Don't
no,
do that.
That's fine.
Just watch a few drag queen videos and
it's great.
Figure it out.
You'll figure it out.
Anywho.
Oh, on that note.
On
we should
that
wrap
note,
it up.
We should. So you have, your blog is stylecalling.com.
It is.
Mm-hmm.
Highly recommend. You're at stylecalling on Instagram.
Stylecalling for everything. Twitter, Facebook. Send me a message. I always love to hear from people.
Yes, please
and,
do.
You know, same with for you guys' blog, right? Leave a message. Leave a comment.
Yeah.
That's those things really matter.
Little thumbs up.
Yeah, we love it.
We'll take it.
Yeah.
Little heart.
We can be found at all the usual places. You can reach out to us at fashionhags@gmail.com or fashionhagspodcast on Instagram, fashionhagspod on Twitter.
We're there, fashionhagspodcast.com.
And
for pictures and videos of things we spoke about on this episode to totally copy what Dave and Graham say and stop podcasting yourself.
It's true, though.
But it's true.
Got to self-promote.
Also, Facebook. Find us on Facebook because that's the easiest way to share stuff with us. Catherine, I can't remember what the last name is, Jenkins maybe? I forget, sorry. You sent me a link, or you sent us a link, I should say, about VetMa. A really great article about VetMa doing something
bucking
a little
the
bit different.
Fashion system yet again.
So
we love them and we hate them.
We love it. Thank you for sending that. Guys, do that. We love it. Really. Just reach out.
And it's also nice to know like where all your readers are from and where people are listening from. Because
do you work in the industry? Do you not? Do you, do you love clothes or, you know?
If you want to take a picture of yourself in your hag t-shirt.
We are all for it.
That would be awesome.
Get out of that. Absolutely.
Yes. Awesome. So reach out. We love it.
We love it.
One of us will get, we'll answer
someone.
You, guaranteed.
Yes. We'll get on it.
There's enough of us checking all of the things all of the time. That
so many channels.
Yeah.
That's the only thing. Gets a little overwhelming. Yeah, so many channels.
You get stuck in the loop of updating.
Just send an email. It's the best way.
That's great. We also love emails.
Yeah. Send an email. Yep, always nice to hear from people.
Yep. Yeah. Awesome. Well.
Awesome.
Thanks so much, Lindy, for coming.
Yes.
Thank you for having me.
What a blast.
So much fun. Yeah. We'll do it again soon.
Yes, please.
And I hope you make this podcast required reading for your students. Every student must be told.
Absolutely.
Can't endorse it, but slide them a note under the table. It's fine.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Put it on the syllabus.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No.
Can you imagine us on a syllabus? That's rich.
We are not experts, by the way. So, you know, don't take anything we say as fact. Unless Lindy said it first, then
and then it's totally true.
In my nice South African accent. It makes everything sound a little bit more proper, doesn't it?
Absolutely. Very classy.
Yeah, I'm not British. I'm South African.
Important.
Important distinction.
Important distinction.
We will not be making that mistake.
No.
Absolutely not.
Awesome.
But thanks for having me, guys. This was so much fun.
Yes.
Beautiful.
Thank you so much.
Love
I'm
it.
So glad we did this. But you guys, remember that we love you.
But we love fashion more.
Mm-hmm.
Bye.
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 Fashion.